Trevor's asked me tonight to sing a couple of songs and give a word of a testimony. I'm sure that he will give a wee epilogue as well. But I'm under country music. Does anybody stick their hand up here under country sort of music? Yeah, well, if you're under country music, you're going to love me. And if you don't play country music, you're going to hate me. So I'm going to sing a wee song, and it's called The Old Gideon Bible. I'm sure you've all had a Gideon Bible at one time.
Stick your hand up if you have a Gideon Bible. You know the little Bible you used to get us in school. I'm going to sing this wee song called The Old Gideon Bible. It's got words here as well. Listen carefully.
He was 21, still been there on the wall, a lonely room where he would still try to end it all. Lying on the table, right by the telephone, was a light that shines like a beam. Also to come home. It was just an old Gideon Bible from a little roadside, and he cried when he read it at Calvary how Jesus died for him. The pages were torn and cracked, and the Bible was cracked. But there in that old Gideon Bible, he found God's saving grace. Never more to be fighting, off in a foreign land, fighting a war with the 100 boys who were under his command. In the heat of battle, he was hit by a bullet, they say. Why he didn't die was a miracle. Something got in the way. Everything. It was just an old Gideon Bible from a little roadside that he always carried. So be my friend. The pages were worn and tattered, and the binding was cracked with age. But there in that old Gideon Bible, he found that saving grace. Well, he turned Gideon once more, yet given for victory. Most of all his friends surrounded him, but they were sad to see him leave. But he was smiling like a schoolboy, all dressed in his Sunday best. He was off to see his Savior, holding on his chest. Everything, it was just an old Gideon Bible from a little roadside inn, where he read the cross and the Calvary how Jesus died for him. The pages were worn and tattered, but the Bible was cracked with age. But there in that old Gideon Bible, he found God's saving grace.
Now Trevor's going to have to keep you ready. We'll sing one more now, Trevor.
Yeah.
Do one more. This wee song that's called Hold On To Jesus. And I think that every one of us in our lives have to hold on to tight to Jesus at different times in our lives. I'll talk a wee more about that later on. And this one's called Hold On To Jesus. You can sing along now too. You're allowed to sing if you know the words. You probably don't know these songs, but here we go.
I'm gonna hold on to Jesus, hold to the Lamb of Calvary. I'm gonna hold on to Jesus, and Jesus will hold on to me. To this troubled world we live in, nothing seems to make sense. Many looking for the way, searching to and fro. Sometimes rope I'm holding seems to be slipping, but I'm gonna hold on tight to the only hope I know. Anyway, I'm gonna hold on to Jesus, hold to the Lamb of Calvary. I'm gonna hold on to Jesus, and Jesus will hold on to me. Old Satan keeps on talking, saying you can't make it, trying to convince me there's no use to try. But I refuse to listen, keep right on going, trusting and believing that Jesus died for me. Everybody, I'm going to Jesus, hold to the Lamb of Calvary. I'm gonna hold on to Jesus, and Jesus will hold on to me.
All you were listening,
I'm gonna Jesus will hold on to me.
Well, thank you very much. Let us pray. Father, we come tonight, Lord, to open up your word. We pray, Lord, that tonight your Holy Spirit will inspire us, that ears will be open to hear your still, small voice, Lord. Help us, Lord, to turn to you and recognize that we must be saved and give our lives to you as Lord and Savior, to enter into the heavenly kingdom. So tonight, Lord, bless this meeting to us, to your use, and to your service. In Jesus' name, Amen. First of all, it's great to be here, first time here. And I went to Tony's quote, a man went to church for the first time. And you remember, a new minister comes to the church, everybody gathers there to hear what this new man's like. So we got up and preached for 20 minutes, and this wee boy down the back, he jumped up and went, "Hallelujah, brother, hallelujah." And the new minister said, "Jesus, there's nothing me here. This is great." So he preached for another 20 minutes. And another wee boy jumped up the back, wee man jumped up the beginning, "Hallelujah, brother, hallelujah." So that was great. He preached for another 20 minutes. So he's out the door, and the wee man was standing, and he said to the wee man, he says, "Jeepers, she's great." He says, "That the encouragement you give me today, shouting, 'Hallelujah, brother, hallelujah.'" He says, "I wasn't shouting, 'Hallelujah.' I said, 'That'll do you, brother, that'll do you.'" So I'm hoping tonight that you're not saying, "Hallelujah, brother, hallelujah." But it's great to be here. I was born in 1963. I was born in 1963. When you're trying to work out my age now, that's not right. So I'm 56 past there on September the 17th. And I lived in a place called Clonie. Does anybody know where Clonie is? Have a clue. Stick your hand up if you know where Clonie is. Well, Clonie is probably famous for all the wrong reasons. It was 1972 that bombed off of Clonie and killed 9 people. And the youngest one was Catherine Aiken. So I lived in a place called Clonie. And that was my first real experience of bereavement with a young girl called Catherine Aiken, who I'd been friendly with, and the parents knew very well, had passed away. My mother worked as a cook in the local school, and the father was in the police at that time. And it was a difficult time living through the troubles, going out and checking up with the car and taking different routes and all the things that we do. Went to the Presbyterian Church. Has anybody, any Presbyterians on tonight? Jeepers, we've one or two. There's only three brave enough to put their hands up tonight. Have we any Church of Ireland people in? So the rest are all Congregational Church. So let's hear a cheer for the Congregational Church tonight. I went to the Presbyterian Church and grew up. But I suppose the seeds of the gospel probably were sown as a child, as I grew up and went to Sunday school. We went to Sunday school without fail every week. My mother was in all the different organizations in the Presbyterian Church, and the choir, and PWA, and all the things. And I think it's so important, and maybe Trevor might be saying the same, but it's so important that we sow the seeds of the gospel in children's lives at a young age. And unfortunately, that's another thing that's too popular at the moment. I know in my church, if wee Johnny doesn't want to go to church, that's great, sure he doesn't want to go. That's not good, because I can remember, Saturday night used to be a bath night and Sunday school lessons and all that sort of stuff, and you had to go to them, So I don't know if anybody up right here was bath night and Saturday night or not, You had to go to your Sunday school lessons and all that sort of stuff. Well, they're not too clean up right here, Trevor, at all, and you had to go to your Sunday. And that's what we're feeling, maybe we're not getting, parents nowadays are not maybe sowing the seeds of the gospel and children's life, learning wee Bible verses and teach them wee hymns and stuff like that. And that certainly was the case in our family home. I went to school and I was a bad wee rip too, and did things that were probably not good. But I went through school, and after I left school I went to work for a man called Eric Thompson, who was a local dental technician in the city. And I was always up singing. It seemed to be a church at the front, David was singing, and my grandfather was a sexton in the church, and he always sat in the back seat. So I used to stand up behind him and sing, and he brought out white gloves out of his pocket and was black as your boot, But our fond memories of church and growing up, and our whole life revolved around the church. The church for us was the community centre. It was the heart of the community, and we did everything there. That's where life revolved around. So after I left school, I went to work for Eric Thompson Dental Technician, and I drifted away from God. I started getting involved in music, and playing the keyboard, playing the guitar, and that sort of stuff. And I got involved in a dance band as well, And that was probably maybe 18 or so. They say there's a broad road and there's a narrow road. We're told that in scripture. On the broad road, every suitcase goes. You can take any suitcase you want on the broad road. Everything goes on the broad road. But we're told what the broad road leads to. They don't know the scriptures up here, never at all. You're telling me they do. Broad road leads to destruction. And I was on the road to destruction, or I was on the road to hell. And I probably didn't even know that it was going on the road to hell. I still believed, that if I died, that or anything happened to me, that I was still in heaven. And unfortunately, that is the case with many people today. Many people believe that if they go to church on Sunday and if they say a few prayers and, you know, they do good stuff, sure, I'm in there. I'm in there. And yet we're told clearly that is not the case in Scripture. And I thought that too. I thought that too. I got involved probably in drinking too much as well. And I was on the road to destruction. On the road to destruction. No doubt about it. But over a period of time, I married a wife, April. And this is how I moved up to the Church of Ireland. We moved to a place called New Buildings. Now, nobody here will probably know where New Buildings is, but it's outside of Derry. And we bought a house there. And my whole life at that time revolved around, number one, making money, buying as big a house as I could possibly afford, driving the best cars I probably could afford, and probably enjoy myself out playing on land and drinking. But I'm not saying I was an alcoholic, I was drinking too much for anybody. And we know that can lead. That can lead to arguments, it can lead to destruction, it can lead to other things in your life. There's no doubt about it. And I was on that road to destruction. And out playing in the band every weekend and all that sort of stuff. And then I needed more money, so I moved out to work with another four or five fellas who had a dental practice outside London area. We sort of split it up, and we were splitting sort of the takings five ways. It was great, everything was going great, we were doing really, really well. And then the work sort of dried up. When the work dried up, then arguments started and all that sort of stuff. And you know, we were fighting and arguing. It's funny how the work works in your life too. I come home one day and I sit to my wife and I say, I've left that job. And she says to me, what? How are we going to pay the mortgage? How are we going to pay keep things going? What is going on? What is going on? And we know that scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. The Lord says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to hurt you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Plans to give you hope and a future. Now, at that stage, I wasn't really going to church once a month, and I wasn't really believing at all. I drifted completely away from God, and other things had become important. And the Lord works in mysterious ways. My wife then, April, she took sick. She took seriously sick at that time. She was going through treatment and all the sort of stuff that you do. But it's something she wasn't like talking about because she just wasn't going to lag her way. But we were worried about her and Michael. And then my mother died. So I was out of work. April had to accept her life. And my mother died. And, you know, who do you turn to when things are not going well? Who's the only one you can turn to? You turn to God. You turn to God. And that's exactly what I did. The seeds that maybe have been sown in my life and maybe haven't been reaped anything at that stage, I turned to God. And I was crying out to Him for help. Lord, help me. And God didn't seek the answer. It's a bit like, you know, Jesus said on the storm, the disciples in the storm, and they're crossing the Sea of Galilee, and the waves were banging up against the boat and all that sort of stuff. And where was Jesus? He was sleeping through all this stuff. And I was praying to God too, and it seemed as if maybe Jesus was sleeping. And maybe you're going through the storms of life too. Maybe you're getting battered at the minute. Maybe things are not going well in the family home. Maybe illness is knocking on the door. We all have storms knocking on our door at some stage. The storms of sickness, the storms of relationship breakdowns, storms of bereavement, storms of depression, storms of anxiety. All the different storms can knock on our door. There's not one person at this speaking night that the storm won't knock at your door at some stage. But the only person that can help you through that storm is Jesus. That's the only person that can help you through that storm. Trevor said that I will never leave you or forsake you. Come with me, all you do, and I will refresh you. That is only personal. But I found myself crying out to God, God, help me. Help me. And the Lord did answer my prayer. But I got to work with a Christian man who belonged to the Free Presbyterian Church in Marfield, James Gray. That man was a real inspiration to me. Does anybody know James Gray? Nobody? Yep. Trevor knows him. Was there any Free Presbyterians on here tonight? None. Well, I am blessed that it was through the Free Presbyterian Church that I was saved. I've no idea about that. The Lord led me to James. The plans I have for you. Jeremiah 29. I know the plans I have for you. Plans. And I didn't know James. And we started talking about faith. We started talking about, you know, my relationship with God, how I drifted away from him, how I was on the road to destruction. You know, and through his ministry, and through William McRae, who was the Free Presbyterian minister, he used to come down onto where we were working, you know, and go to their church and hear the gospel message. You know, maybe I didn't hear the gospel message, or maybe it was preached before, but my ears were closed to it. And we're told that the old scripture, that our ears can be closed to the scriptures at times, you know. You know, it says here in John chapter 12, and again Jesus spoke to them, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Then the Pharisees said to him, you are testifying on your own behalf. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid because I know where I come from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I judge no one. Yet even if I judge, my judgment is valid. For it is not alone who judges, but I am the Father who sent me. You know, sometimes our ears can be closed to the Word of God, and I think the Pharisees too. Their ears were closed to the Word of God. Jesus was there in front of them, testifying to them. And their ears were closed to the Word of God. And sometimes our ears can be closed too. And sometimes we don't want to hear it, because our life has to change. We have to give up the things that we know that we're doing wrong. But to be honest, sometimes we don't like giving up the things that we're doing wrong, because we like them. Sometimes we don't like giving up the things that we know we're doing wrong because we're like them. We like them, we want to hold, the devil's got a hold on us. And one of the things that I didn't like giving up was playing in the band. The devil had a hold on me. I remember going to James' church and, you know, speaking, unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You know, this born again, what's this all mean? You know, this new spirit within me, a new way of living. But I remember, you know, I was under so much conviction of sin that I remember coming home one evening and driving up the Glenshee Pass and pulling up to the side and asking the Lord Jesus to come into my life. Saying, Lord, come into my life. I know that I'm on the road to destruction. Help me. But I promise that I'm going to try to follow you the best I possibly can in my life from now on. You know, we're told in the scripture, unless a man repents again, repents, turns away from the things that he's doing wrong, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. We have to turn away from those things that we know doing wrong. But sometimes, you know, even the wee things that we think, oh, should I do no harm? They lead to bigger things, and bigger things, and bigger things. And we've all sinned, we're told in Romans 3:23, we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's not one person over here tonight that hasn't sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But I was blessed that my wife got better again than the decision had to be made. You know, am I going to follow the Word or am I going to follow God? And that's the decision I think that we all have to come. me at some stage in your life, who am I following? Who am I following? Am I following my own desires? Or am I following God's way? Now, if you're not following God's way, then you're on the road to destruction, you're on the road to hell. And maybe that's not a word that maybe we like hearing. But we hear plenty of it in the scripture. Depart from me, you cursed, for I never knew you. But what do you think was the biggest battle that I had when it came to make the decision to follow Christ in my life? What was the thing that caused me the most bother to give up? It was the last man that was in it. The devil had a real hold on my life through that. And I found it really, really difficult. What has the devil got a hold in your life? What part of your life do you find hard handed over to God? You know, could be maybe you're cheating your taxes, but sure, if nobody knows, you're okay. On the outside, I look good. Sure, nobody knows. God knows. And God knows the secret of all our hearts. And you might have to do as well. But God spoke to me. And we have to repent and admit. I love that battle, admit, ABC, admit, believe and come. You have to admit that you're a sinner. Admit. And I have to admit that I was on the road to destruction. I had to believe and trust in God as Lord and Savior. And I had a common follow. And that's sometimes not easy to read. It means repentance. John the Baptist, repent, ye believe. That's what he told them when they come out into the wilderness. Repent. And we have to repent of those things. I repent of those things, and I tried my best to follow God the best I possibly could. I started going to church, and you know, it was nearly as if God was speaking to me the following week in church. You know that story about throw your net on the other side. Throw your net on the other side. I was fishing on the wrong side all the time. I couldn't find contentment, couldn't find fulfillment, couldn't find peace. And when I threw the net on the other side, that's when life then started to be blessed. I started to go in the right direction. I started going to church, became more involved, and church taking youth. And I remember the minister gave a very saying to me, I think that God's maybe calling you for ministry. And I said, God couldn't call somebody like me because I'm not worthy enough. And his words to me were, David, there's none of us worthy enough. There's none of us worthy enough. It's only by God's grace. It's only by God's grace that we are saved. By God's grace. And God's grace is clearly shown on the cross where Christ died for you and me. That's how much God loved us. And he sent his Son to die on the cross and shed his blood for our sins. For our redemption. None of us are good enough. But then I started to think, maybe God has called me. And when we look at the scriptures, you know, God can use some of the most unlikely characters. Moses, what about him? Did Moses not commit murder? And yet God chose him. What about King David? Adultery, didn't he? Killed Uriah, set him up to the front line, and he got him killed. What about Matthew, the tax collector? The biggest rogue, probably. And yet God used him. Paul, known as Saul. He was killing Christians or killing those who possessed the crystals left, right, and center, persecuting them. And yet God called them and he used them. And he used them in a mighty, mighty way. And I think that God can use each and every one of us in a mighty, mighty way when we open up our hearts and our lives to him. And maybe God is calling you to do something tonight. But maybe you're refusing that call, and we often assert, I'm being no good at that. Do you see Mary at the back of the church? You want to ask her, she would be very good at that. We're all called to ministry. We're all called to serve. We're all called to serve. Serve God each and every day. When I started to look at some of the people that God called, I really felt that call of God in my life. That's when I made the decision that I'd go off and to ministry and try and serve God the rest of my life. We live in a world today where it's not easy to serve God. You know, you only have to go to Tesco's or Primark on a Sunday morning to see where people are going by. Shopping centres are the new church cathedrals. People are flocking to them. We have drifted completely away from God. Even members of the royal family have drifted away from God. But they're trying to cover up some of the shameful things that they have done. We have stabbings in our community. Alcohol has been raised. Drug abuse. All these different things are on the rise. We're living in a corrupt society where the Christian faith is hammered by many people. But yet, God tells us to go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're to sow the seeds of the gospel. We're told that in the parable of the sower. Parable of the sower explained when the parable of the sower, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away. Snatches away what is sown in the heart. You know, sometimes when we grow up, the seeds were sown, as I said earlier on, but sometimes the seeds can be snatched away. The devil. He's there to snatch them away. He's there to lead us down the wrong path, down the road to destruction. But for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and receives it with joy. Yet the person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises from the account of the word, that person immediately falls away. How many people have come to missions or meetings like this? And they jump up and they say, I'm saved, I'm saved. And yet, when hardship, persecution, when they have to give up certain things in their life, because they have no root, they fall away. They backslide. But as for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word. But the cares and the worries and murders of wealth choke the word, and it gains nothing. The cares of the world and the lure of wealth. That was certainly me. The cares of the world and the lure of wealth. And they yield nothing. Trevor talked about Corruption Street when he was down in All Saints today. You know, there's so many television programs now that are leading people down the wrong path. Things that are shown on television now that are the norm are meant to be the norm. or go completely against God's word. And many people wouldn't miss them for anything. If there were a Bible study on or a meeting, they would miss it. So they wouldn't miss the soaps. The lure of the world, wealth, and it yields nothing. But as we walk this morning on good soil, this is when he hears the word, understands it, and indeed bears fruit, yields it 100-fold, and another 60, and another 30. Those who hear the word yield the fruit. And I have no doubt that when they hear the word of God and yield the fruit, that one day they will stand before God and hear those great words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Receive the kingdom that I have prepared for you." I'd ask you tonight, which one are you? Which seed are you here? Or which ground are you? Has the seed been snatched away? Are you the one that jumps up and you have no roots, and the minute you go out that door, you're back doing the same things that you've always done? That has made absolutely no change in your life whatsoever. Is that you? So I'll carry on, and so as long as nobody knows, I'll be okay. Know it. Troubles or persecution comes, you're gone. Are you one that to seek a stone among the thorns, that you're lured by the cares of the world, you're worrying about your retirement, and you have enough money for it? And you're worrying about all these different things. We had a man in our parish a couple of years ago. He worked in Dewpoint. And he piped in a pipe band, and he loved fishing. And he couldn't wait to get retired. And he was going to have a big pension and a great retirement fund. And he was at the band practice on the Thursday night, pipe band. And he's telling everybody, you know, "I'm retired on Friday, retired tomorrow. And I'm going to fish. And I'm going to go here, and I'm going to go there." His wife went down on Sunday morning because they always went to church. And she said to him, "Andy, come on, are you not getting ready?" Andy had passed away in his chair. Andy, unfortunately, had got caught up in the care of the world, the lure of wealth, and worrying about everything else except his salvation. And sometimes we can be the same. Or are you the one who's bearing fruit? And we'll hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I praise the Lord that he spoke unto my life. I praise him and thank him. And it would be great if you left tonight, and if you're not saved, that you would give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that you too would one day hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Jesus tells us right here, there's only one way to get heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's no other way. There's no other way except through Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to sing one more wee song, but it's a wee quick song this night. It's called "Don't Give Up on Me, Lord. Don't Give Up on Me." Is that right?
Don't give up, Lord. Don't give up.
lights on lonely roads, so dark I could not see. I've been in some sad places where the good men shouldn't be. Fought with evil spirits, Lord, brought me to my knees. So please don't give up, Lord, don't give up on me.
Everybody clap your hands.
Don't give up on me, Lord, don't give up on me. I'll get it all together, just you wait and see. I'll be back on the path, for I won't slip from thee. So please don't give up, Lord, don't give up on me. I know I haven't done the things that I set out to do. Somewhere along life's highway, I wandered far from you. Now that I am back on horse, on the road that leads to you. Please listen for my footsteps, don't give up on me. Everybody, don't give up on me, Lord, don't give up on me. I'll get it all together, just you and see. I'll be back on the path, for I won't stand on thee. So please don't give up, Lord, don't give up on me. The journey's near the end, it has, I don't have far to go. I feel your presence, dear Lord, see the lights of home. Please help me with these last few steps as I get close to you. You know I love you, dear Lord, so don't give up on me. Everybody, don't give up on me, Lord, don't give up on me. I'll get it all together, just you and I see. I'll be back on the path, for I won't stray from thee. So please don't give up, Lord, don't give up on me. One more time.
So what is this one more on this one? One more.
Don't give up on me. I'll get it all together, just you and I see. I'll be back on the path, for I won't stray from thee. Please don't give up, Lord, don't give up on me. So please don't give up, Lord, don't give up on me.
So, cameras are letting me sing one more. I'll always sing this recent here, because you know them all.
Sing a lot. So everybody clap your hands. Do all these ones. I'm always,
here we go.
Some bad morning when the skies were edgy, I ran away to a home of thoughts and extra stretchy. So high, no sorrow beside. Praise the Lord, I saw. This for all you poverty nationalists. This is all written especially for you. Get up here. All those men. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's victory winning. There's wonderful power in the blood. Everybody, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
This week one call for all the church iron. It's called When the Saints Go Marching Up. Are you ready?
Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in. And when the sun begins to shine. And when the sun begins to shine. Oh, Lord, I want to be in the number when the saints go marching in.
Everybody bows their head.
Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in the number when the saints go marching in. When the saints go marching in.
Whenever Jesus said strive, he knows that you will do battle. He knows, God knows in his word, that you will have difficulty because he knows there's an enemy to your soul. And Jesus himself says in John chapter 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He doesn't write you a love letter, dear Mary, dear John, I hate you so much, I have designs to destroy your soul in hell for all eternity. He doesn't write you a letter. But he put obstacle after obstacle. He put difficulty after difficulty. He put excuse after excuse. Sow it into your mind. I couldn't be a Christian with the things that I did. I couldn't be a Christian with the places that I went to. I couldn't be a Christian. Look at the people that have hurt me. And if that boy's a Christian, I don't want to be in heaven with them. Do you hear yourself? Do you hear yourself? In other words, you're saying, I'm going to go to hell because I don't like it. Seek ye the Lord. Strive to enter. I was also in trouble. I haven't intended preaching, but listen. While he may be found. There's an awful lot of theological and doctrinal debate where you can commit the sin of blasphemy. You know what the sin of blasphemy is? Where you grieve the Spirit of God, where you come to a place where you never hear his voice again. I believe that's possible, because why would God's word say it? God can strive, knocking at your door. Genesis 6:3, and my spirit shall have all the strive with man. What does that mean? God tugging at your heartstring, wooing you to himself with the cords of love, bringing you with every faculty of heaven. And by the way, God does not, contrary to what other people teach, God does not overrule your will. Whenever I was in the Bible college, they used to have this argument over irresistible grace. You get saved whether you want it or not. Well, I like Bible. I can't find that anywhere. My Bible says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. God will not force himself on you. And it just might be God speaking to someone in this gathering tonight. You've heard David and the things that lured him into the world that sought to bring him on the road to destruction and the final path of destruction. You have to overcome those. Because God can withdraw from you. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And then repentance, let the wicked forsake his way. So if you don't forsake your way, you're still wicked. And you know what the Bible says in Psalms? The wicked shall be turned into hell. And them that forget God. And you know what the final analysis of wickedness is? People that forget God. Now there's two people came into this, and there's about 100, there's almost 200 people, there's about 100 people. There's two people, really, that you this meeting, the saved and the lost. Not it? Man is not made a woman or a man. Saved or lost. Now, what way are you going out of this meeting? What way are you leaving? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will abundantly pardon. Let me, man that will be burying tomorrow, Robert Morris. I had the great joy of leading him to Christ almost 5 years ago. What difference that made for the funeral tomorrow. I was doing your funeral tomorrow, what could I say about you? Let's pray together in prayer, then we'll close the reading. Father, we pray that as we bring this meeting to a conclusion, we pray for grace, Lord, we pray for courage. Thank you for giving us testimony. Thank you, Lord, for saving this man. And Lord, not only did you save him, but you challenged him into your service. And Lord, we thank you for the blessings that he is in his church up in All Saints Plumbing. We thank you for those who are coming to faith, and Lord, how the church is coming alive again through what you've done in his heart. And Lord, we recognize the significance and the importance that every life that's here in this meeting, Lord, can make the same difference in their environment, in their community. Father, will you grant tonight that any soul that came into this meeting, whether they're backslidden or whether they're not saved, Lord, we don't let them leave the same way they came. We ask, O God, that you'll give them the grace and the courage to enter into what God has for them. Lord, we pray for that courage to defy the devil and delight in the Lord. And maybe you can just be yours out in God's presence now where you're seated. Maybe you could say, Lord, I want to know you tonight.